From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
Welcome to Postcard from Bob Brad. On the most gloriously sunny day, and I can't open the windows up because there might be some more wasps. I've killed two more since last week, and I'm too tight to put the aircon on, so it could be topless radio this week, boys and girls. It could be. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the lovely Tetris Mountains, which has still got snow on them, and yet we're basking in sunshine down here. Over on the zit of the nose of the Europe, completely confused by the voting, is no other than Lee Banks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everybody else. Let me just say something very quickly to you on the weather update. Winter has returned to Britain. We're now facing storms, rain, wind, pestilence.
Yeah, I saw that. A friend of mine said it was thunder, lightning and rain and everything yesterday.
It is now. It is now. We have now had 10 months of winter.
Yes.
And 3 days of summer.
In which case, we'll move swiftly on, to my cohort of the sun, because I'm basking in it. Rachel Brunsdonley Darwin.
Hello, it's still hot, it's still sunny, it's still diabolical.
Is it? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You're very sure?
Yeah, I just stuck my head out the door just now. It's like nearly 10 o'clock at night.
We need you to put your head out of the portal this week. not the window, out of the portal this week. That will become clear in a minute. Because there's something special this week, so get your cassette recorders ready. Because it was in the... Never mind. Anyway, hi to the guys over at Talk Radio X Replay. Breeze and Absinthe. And Absinthe, where did that come from? Oh, no, the bottle.
You want a drink?
Yeah. It makes our heart grow fonder.
It's been a long week, boys and girls. Anyway, in this programme this year week, we will be paying tribute to a station that started 30 years ago on the North Sea in Europe, and it was called Laser 558. What an amazing station, and we've got probably the funniest recordings ever from that particular show, from that particular station on the show this week. Lee is thinking about his stash under the bed this week. Ooh. And why he could lose it. Which would scare him a bit, wouldn't it?
If you lose your stash.
Yeah.
As a man, you don't want to lose your stash.
We're going to find out about that later on in the programme, yep.
I can tell you all about it now.
No, don't, because I haven't got my fingers on the faders.
It's disgusting.
I know it is. I find it quite hysterical. Anyway, Rach is broadcasting from the campsite this week, and it's a campsite alongside where there was a bunch of car crashes near Darwin. Hang on, she was there before. What again? Anyway, but this time she's camping looking for a naked man. What? Mm-hmm. Why?
Why? You want me to tell you right now why?
Yes.
A man dashes out of the scrub, out of the bush.
Yes.
Naked as a jaybird, covered in mud.
That sounds like a song from the 70s. Naked as a jaybird. I'm doing the streak.
In the bush.
In the bush, yes.
In the bush, in the buff.
Yes.
And he's running around with a couple of palm fronds to wave around, not to cover his, you know, his shame.
Yes.
He was waving them around in a bird-like fashion, singing and carrying on, and it distracted some motorists, and there were a number of car crashes as a result.
Yeah, but the funniest bit was there was actually a police car crash as well.
Yeah, the police car crashed also whilst trying to find him, and everybody was sort of, to coin a phrase as we do here in Australia when we have these pile up of cars, that there was a lot of rear ending, and it was quite hilarious. And then man dashed back into the bush. And they couldn't locate him, but because there was a large police presence and several crashes, people were rubbernecking the crashes, and there were more crashes.
Give up! Can I just classify this story? We're talking about a naked man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bush.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rear ending.
Yes.
And copper helmets.
Yes.
right?
That's disgusting.
It's not at all.
It is a little bit, but and they still can't find him. But the police aren't concerned because he's dangerous. They're concerned because they're fearful for his mental health. And I think, you know, to leave him alone. He's clearly camping in the bush and maybe came upon a few shrooms, had a bit of a munch, and got magical, and decided to dance.
What was he singing?
In a tribal way. They don't know what he was singing. It was some made-up song that he composed in his head at the time. And it was pretty distracting.
Talented naked man. That's what we need, isn't it?
That's what we need.
Australia's bush has got talent.
That brings a whole new dimension to the bush tucker man, doesn't it?
It really does. But the fact that there's only, 130,000 people in Darwin, and a lot of them were at work at the time. The whole three cars that would have been left driving around all crashed.
So anyway, moving on, I listened to my colleagues on the program, namely Rach and Lee, who chastised me regularly for not engaging with the arts. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll engage with the arts.
Yeah.
I did. And I watched the BAFTA Awards.
That's not
engaging with the arts.
Isn't it not?
Watching the BAFTAs.
Well, it's got all lovely people on it.
It's got failed middle class oiks on it.
Well, it's all in the programs really bad and films and stuff that you like.
Yeah, but it's not the real BAFTAs. The real BAFTAs is much earlier in the year. But this is the TV one. That's the rubbish one.
Yeah, so I'm doing as I'm told, right? I'm engaging with the arts, and then one of the shows that wins, it wins an award, number one, the best on the planet, and it's from BBC Three Television, which the idiot DG is about to shut down.
What was the programme?
I can't remember.
Clearly awesome.
I got so annoyed, so upset. He's got to go, this bloke. He's just bonkers.
Uncle Eric. Okay, may I be the first one to use your new title on this show?
Yes, please.
Uncle Eric?
Yes.
The reason Rachel and I tried to get you to involve yourself in some kind of artistic endeavour...
Yes.
...is because you have as much culture as a tin of yogurt.
A tin of yogurt? I've never seen one of them. Yeah. Where'd you get those?
Why did it come out as tin?
A tub.
You see, like I said, they're all loveys. Marvellous.
A tubby.
Yes, or something like that.
And be careful of the word lovey. You know, I got upset the other day at somebody for calling you that.
I know.
And I chastised. I didn't chastise. Yes, I did chastise.
You did chastise. Yes, you did. Rach had a chastise. There's no two ways about it. We move on to those that have passed to a higher plane now. And I'm just going to shut up because I'm completely lost. As Lee talks about Prince Rupert Lowenstein.
Yeah, he's like a higherbrow Lowenbrow. He's just a lot of really interesting bloke. He was a Bavarian banker.
Careful how you say that.
I know. I was just like checking that I'd said it right. Like
correct.
I said tin instead of tub.
Yep.
And he is the man who turned the Rolling Stones into the world's richest rock and roll band. And
so he commercialised the Rolling Stones, who were before a blues band.
Well, actually, you know, as I was speaking then, I mirrored your thoughts exactly, and was just about to say that.
You were looking for a defensive answer, knowing that Eric would chastise you.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. He did, actually. He sanitised one of the world's roughest and rough-hewn bands, blues bands, and sanitised them and made them almost a pop band. They've had redeeming... Oh, that's my phone again! Turn the damn thing off! Who do you think you are? Keep ringing me up when I'm on a show.
They must have heard you, because they've gone now. That was quick. So anyway, what you're saying is, he made loads of money.
He did. He made loads of money out of Mick Jagger and the rest of them, and now he's dead.
Right. Okay, and then Rach is going to help me out with this one, because I am lost. A lady, sadly, who's passed, is Louise Wilson. I know nothing.
Well, Alexander McQueen is an iconic fashion designer, and you'll see his designs on red carpet at the Oscars.
Is he related to Steve?
No. Oh. No, he's not.
Oh, right.
No, he's not.
That's big girl.
But he's a very, very famous designer, and this was a lady who was also very talented, and she designed for that label, and she died at 52, which is
not fair.
Really young.
That's not fair.
Horribly young. I'm not sure how she died, but she died at 52. She was the head of the Central St. Martin's College, where there was a whole college and whatnot that was associated with the design. Anyway, long story short, she designed for them. It was very, very famous. She was a bit of a legend, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. She was given an OBE in 2008 for her services to an oboe.
An oboe.
What? Yes. For her services to education and fashion. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a trumpet, not an oboe.
It wasn't very good, was it?
She this is why we want you to get cultured.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. Right. Moving along. Sadly, the search for the missing sailors is being terminated, basically because they haven't found any wreckage, and it's been days and days since the yacht went down over on the American side of the Atlantic. Even the RAF Hercules has been involved in the search as well. Yeah. And I have to say, it would be a miracle if any of the crew members, and I won't name them because I don't know who knows and who doesn't know and what's going on. We just thoughts and prayers with the family of the four men, quite clearly. And I think, you know, there was a huge campaign on social media and everywhere else to get the US Coast Guard to reopen the search, which they did, quite gladly as it goes. But to be honest, when they pulled the plug last time, I don't think there was a lot of time left. The US Coast Guard said that roughly 20 hours was the estimated time of survival for any crew members after the distress call. And, you know, it's now days ago. So let's just hope they've got a nice big yacht up higher places than where we are, and they're enjoying it. That's all because...
There is a point to this, though, which is something I'm sure is going to be pursued over the next few days. But, you know, when the families made this major appeal, and more power to their elbow for what they did and how it transcended. When they made the appeal to the American Coast Guard and the government to reopen the search,
yes,
it was like you said, it was almost a foregone conclusion that these people wouldn't be found.
Yes.
And it did seem a bit of a publicity stunt on the part of the government to reopen this case. You know, it's going to cost us a few thousand. If we don't go out looking for them, we're going to be condemned. But if we do go out looking for them, even if they're dead, we are heroes. And I thought there was something just a little bit saddened.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But I think the best thing to do for the families and everybody else, and I hope the media do it, is just leave them alone now and hope that they can get to some form of closure. It's going to be very difficult without finding anybody, obviously. But we hope they get to some form of closure so that they can at least move on with their lives whilst never ever forgetting, that's for sure. Strange things happened in England.
There's nothing strange about it.
It's a very strange thing. Because for many years, if you're not familiar, there's been three main political parties in the UK. The Labour, which tends to be on the left, the Liberal Democrats that sit on the fence, and the Conservatives, which tend to be more right. Yeah. Now, up and coming from that lot is this thing called the UK Independence Party, with a gentleman called Nigel Farage. Why does he have to use the Frenchism for it when he's married to a German lady? I don't get it. Anyway, Nigel Farage has been playing his card really well recently. And in the local elections, this is not the main general election, and also the European election, which we're told there's some massive things going on there as well. But in the UK elections for the local authorities, the UKIP people have done really well.
They have.
And everybody's jumping on the bandwagon of this. And I don't know whether it happens in Australia, Rach. You can tell me in a minute. But, you know, in midterm or somewhere in the middle of a parliament being in office, there's always a massive protest vote for no reason. People just go, we don't love you anymore. But then when it comes to a general election, it's as if they engage brain before ticking box. And they go, don't like this one. I think we'll go for this one instead. And I'm just wondering if this isn't a huge, huge, overinflated helium balloon coming out from everywhere, because these UKIP people have managed to get 80-odd seats in local government.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? And I think what you're saying, would it be true? We wish it would be true that this was just a massive inflation of an angry vote against the ludicrousness of the Conservatives and the Lib Dems and the weakness of Labour. But actually, I don't think it is. I think when in the 1960s, we were a dreadfully racist country.
Yep.
And we managed through, and it was a grand effort on the part of the media, on the part of the government, on the part of schools, on the part of politicians, to rid this country of racism. And it's always been an undercurrent within our society that we have this inexplicable desire to dislike people from other countries and of different hues to us. But we kept it down. We kept it hidden. And
but that's the problem, Lee. It was buried, not sorted.
Exactly. And what Nigel Farage, he's always Nicholas to me.
I know.
Yeah, Nigel Farage.
I'll tell you what, we're going to christen him Nicol Farage.
That'll do, Nicol Farage.
Farage.
Right. But what he did, he took the lid off that thing that was being held down by British society, and he's released it. And I don't think for a second that really the majority of the people are voting for UKIP as a protest. They're voting because they believe what this madman is saying.
No, well, it's interesting because Jeremy Brown, who's the Liberal Democrat MP, he was quoted as saying that Nigel Farage is just a two fingers stuck up to.
back to the first story, then.
Yes, exactly. But I kind of agree with him in that, you know, people love to stick two fingers up to a government.
Of course they do. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what it's all about. And the truth is, and with the greatest respect to some of the local councillors and even parish councillors and county councillors everywhere else, you know, at the end of the day, you have to work within the infrastructure given to you by the main government. And if you don't, you're in trouble. You get sanctions and all sorts of other daft things. So, I mean, they can't actually do a lot, even with all these local authority councillors. They can cause a bit of a stink. They can wind a few people up. But they can't make a change. They can't make a difference. That is for sure.
But ultimately, they can't they? You know, you see, if they start to...
Well, they haven't got anybody in Parliament.
Well, no, but that's how it begins, isn't it? It all moves, starts to move inexorably in one direction. And the fact that, you know, this European MP wants us to get out of Europe, again, is one of these strange dichotomies of what they're offering the public. Mm. And the public are so stupid that they don't actually see it or understand it.
Well, I'm now going to move on to another group of people that stuck two fingers up to a government 30 years ago. It was in the form of the MV Communicator, Laser 558, who 30 years ago this week started broadcasting on ancient modulation on medium wave from the North Sea. And we're about to hear what Laser sounded like, what it brought to Europe, not just the UK, the whole of Europe, and also the fun side of Laser, because the British government, in their infinite wisdom, decided they would put a little boat on the North Sea. And trust me on this, if you put a little boat out on the North Sea, it bounces around all over the place. And even if you're not normally talking to God's white telephone, when you're bobbing up and down in a little boat like that, you're going to go green very quickly. Whereas the guys on Radio Caroline, which was already on air, and then Laser 558 joined them, they were sitting on well heavy big trawlers and stuff like that, which weighed tens and tens of tons and sat like almost pristine in the water. This is
romantic.
It is. This for you guys is Laser 558.
From the MV Communicator in international waters, we are Laser 558. Owned by Urad SA, this is free radio with non-stop hit music practicing good programming and technical standards. We are Laser 558.
Laser 558.
Laser 558.
Oh, hi, this is Charlie Wolf. Laser 558 is on, my friend, and of course, big news. I don't know if you've seen it yet. There's two ships in the North Sea. I should know. I work for the DTI. We were working the day watch on a dioptric surveyor. I can't go on with this. Yes, we have a license to do, I don't know. no. Oh my! I don't know if I can. I'm going to read this.
Read it.
I don't know if I. I don't know if I can keep a straight face. All right, here we.
This is where your money is going.
Yeah, this is to CFAC. No, to dioptric. I'm going to read the BBC story first because they mention our name first. Channel 4 mentions Caroline's first, so I on them. Okay, this is from BBC CFAX page 116. Take notes, you free radio enthusiasts. I'm sure you'll want to have all this done. A ship chartered by the government is monitoring the Thames estuary as part of a crackdown on pirate radio. The ship will monitor broadcasts from Radio Caroline. Who are they? Oh, that's our friends across the way. And Laser 558. Let's see, what else does it say here? And watch for illegal deliveries of supplies. Broadcasts from these stations are not illegal, of course not, as the vessels are moored in international waters. But it is an offense to supply or support the ships.
Well, Juan's going to be really ticked off about this.
Do you know how long it's taken me to learn Spanish? You got to add a note to every word. Hello, all. A Department of Trade spokesman said there was a, now dig this one, quote, potential threat to life caused by radio interference. They always use these, I guess they've been doing this for 20 years now, using words like possible, potential.
Alleged.
No, it is true, because I stubbed my toe once. Here we go. This is Channel 4, page 509 for all of you statisticians. A 99-foot surveillance ship is in position. The ship will monitor broadcasts from Radio Caroline. How can they get first bill? And Laser 558, and watch for illegal deliveries of supplies. Juan is going to just have a fit. The Department of Trade said, now this is the one I love, these robbers of the airwaves. Oh, man, I've always said nice things about you guys, too. Robbers of the air. We're interfering with aeronautical and marine navigation equipment. Where? When? Hope you folks aren't believing any of this. Besides legitimate stations, we've been messing with them too?
No.
Well, I mean, I hung out.
You're the guy that instituted Beeb Aid.
I know.
This is
gratitude. I know.
Scratch Beeb Aid now.
Yeah, Beeb Aid is over. You know, I mean, the only thing I've ever done to a legitimate station was I was standing out in front of Capitol Radio once and was going, hey, little girl, come on over here. rescue helicopters might not be able to use equipment, it says, in an emergency. And Caroline and Laser were, here's another one, posing a grave, big word, potential threat to life.
Wait a minute.
They can't use it. Are they blaming us for their faulty equipment?
I guess. I don't know. This is
See,
all...
they're spending the taxpayers' money to, like, to do this instead of buying their helicopters.
This is, this is, you know, and all I have to say to these guys, of course, is... No, this is, you know... Well, anyway. how long? You see what they've done? You know what they've done to us?
They've upset us.
And they've kept us all for a minute away from music. We'll have fun tonight. You may want to listen, because this is... Charlie Wolf tries out for the Old Bailey. I don't know. I hope they'd come over and visit, though, because, you know, we'd be glad to share, you know, some food with them at the Dioptric Survey. You guys, I know you're monitoring us tonight, and I'd like to say hello, and I know that you're just doing your job, but next time you see your boss, go... Okay, special report from the Situations Room concerning the... Euro siege, as we are in day 23. We thought something was going on. We're not quite sure. Some of the lights went out on their boat, but they still have power, I guess, because their radar antenna is still going on the Dioptric Surveyor, and some of the lights are on, but a lot of the navigation lights are off. And I don't know what to make of it, but especially their anchor light. Their anchor light, very important to sound. Any ships should be in our area. Please be careful. The Dioptric Surveyor is sitting between the Ross Revenge and the Communicator, which is our ship. So if there's any, like, oil tankers coming on through and you plan on passing through the two ships, be careful because the Dioptric is there. And I'd sure, you know, hate to see you go and you know, ram those guys because they're friends, you know what I mean? 8:31 in the UK. It's 9:31 on the continent. And we've been doing it. Oh, boy. Laser 558 on. Madonna's getting into the groove on Laser 558. Oh, and in case you were wondering, we won't be hooking up with Chipping Sodbury Sound tonight. That's the radio station that's hired me, because I'll be leaving Laser, about 3 weeks to a year, depending on when the DTI pulls out. But when I go on holiday next time, I will not be coming back. But very happy to report that they've hired me at Chipping Sodbury Sound. And I've been supplying them with programming, about an hour's worth a night, via the Londrasat communication satellite. Luckily, at Chipping Sodbury, I have the weekends off. They know how to treat their people decently, you know what I mean? and that in the Londrasat communication satellite is still being repaired by the astronauts on the U.S. Space Shuttle. So, I mean, we couldn't go on tonight, even if we wanted to. Time now for a Laser Spotlight song. Miami Sound Machine. Bad Boy. Laser 558. Call your radio, Laser 558. Charlie Wolf, I don't know if you can feel it on land. Can you feel it, huh? Yes, the tide is changing. And when tide changes and your boat kind of goes around, before it gets back into the tide, well, it rolls and pitches and stuff. And it's an ominous night out tonight. And the Dioptric Surveyor, the spy boat, is bouncing all over the place. I was just peeking at them through the starboard side portholes. I'm on the port side of the ship, so I went across to the starboard side. I was peeking at a porthole, and they're bouncing all over the place. Oh, those boys are going to get sick tonight.
Have a pen or pencil ready.
All Europe Radio, Laser 558, broadcasting live from the MV Communicator in international waters. Laser 558 is owned and operated by Eurad SA and broadcasts in a totally free environment. At all times, this radio station endeavors to maintain standards of good taste and responsible technical operation. We will resume our transmission of hit music this morning at 5 o'clock British time, 6 o'clock on the continent. Thanks for listening today, and have a good night.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets, and Windows phones.